All right, and I do ask you to pray for the Schrock family as they drive back tomorrow from Ohio. And he was out there doing a conference for a church on music Saturday and today. And so I trust that that went well, and it's good to be able to be a help and a blessing and keep music on the right biblical track. That's what we desire to do. Jude, the book of Jude, verse number 24 and 25. Jude 24 and 25 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. To him be glory. To him be majesty. To him be dominion. To him be power." And it's going to last forever. As we read this, remember, we're dealing with creeping men. It is their desire to corrupt others as they have been corrupt. So many times, sin does not like to sin alone. Let's get somebody to go along with it. Let's get somebody to join it. And this is a reminder that God is able to do two things for us: to present us faultless before the throne and to keep us from falling. And so we'll look at the message tonight. Father, we ask for your help. We need you. God, it is really our life, both physically and spiritually, is dependent upon you. We are kept by your power. We are taking the next breath because you allow it for us. God, I pray that you would help us. Indeed, you're able to keep us from falling. You're able to present us faultless before the throne. God, may we be desirous of your work in our lives to bring that about. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look first of all at the fact that God is able. And specifically with the context of this thought, he's able to keep you from falling, he's able to present you faultless. I'm going to read some verses from different places in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says this: "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." God is able to keep giving you the grace that you need, that your life might be abundant in every good work. Sounds like he's able to keep us on track, isn't it? Ephesians 3:20 says this: "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So God is able to do more than we can ask, more than we can think, and it is his power that works in us. I want to focus, as we look at these points, on his power working in us. Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." That obviously talking about either the rapture or when he presents us in heaven. He is able to take this vile body, and he rightly describes it. We have a vile flesh. We have a flesh that is capable of horrendous wrong. We have a mind that is capable of going to deep, dark places. We have a flesh that would be exceedingly wicked if we did not have some help and control over that, and God is able to change all of that. What a day that will be when we get to leave this flesh and we get a brand new body with no sin nature. And then Hebrews 7:25 says, "Where able, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." As we go into the thought, I want to take this reverse order tonight and look at he is able first to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. And when we think of that, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. If you're saved, Jesus Christ is alive, and the purpose in the Bible that's stated that he lives for is to be at the right hand of God as an advocate for you. And when you mess up, he's there standing on your behalf saying, "I paid for that." Now that ought to give us a desire not to mess up. But when we do fall, and he knows that we do, he is able to present us faultless before the throne of God. Again, in Jude verse 24, it says, "Now in him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory." I want to start as we look at to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with this thought. Romans 3:23, most of you know it by heart. "For all have sinned and come short of" what? "The glory of God." And when we think of that verse and then we compare it with this one, he is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Doesn't that give you chills up and down your spine that he can take a sinner that is not worthy of the glory of God and he can present you into the glory of God faultless? You talk about a blessing. You talk about something we are absolutely unworthy of. And every time we give the gospel and we say to someone, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," we ought to also present to them the fact that Jesus Christ is able to present you faultless into that glory of God. Because you don't get into that glory of God with fault. You can't enter into his presence with sin. But through Jesus Christ, we have the ability to be presented into the presence of God. To make a saint out of a sinner is a greater miracle than to make man out of dust. You consider what God has done. Philippians 1:6 says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know, I'm glad it's his work and not mine. You think about it. How long could you keep yourself saved? An hour? Two? 10 minutes? Maybe when you're sleeping? Anybody ever woke up from a dream and it's like, "Did I really do that?" We're corrupt even when we're asleep sometimes. 1 Corinthians 1:6-9. If you'd turn there, 1 Corinthians 1:6-9. We are kept by his power. He's able to perform it. 1 Corinthians 1:6-9 says this, "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who," what's the next word? "Shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be" what? "Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, not a one of us can sit here and say, "Oh, I'm blameless." But on that day, as we get presented into the glory of God, we will be presented blameless if Jesus Christ is our Savior and we have his righteousness. What a blessing that is. That's an incredible, incredible thing. 1 Peter 1:5 says this, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." What are we kept by? Power of God. Again, it's not us. It's the power of God. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about Jesus Christ dying for us. And it gives the context of the idea of marriage and a pure bride. Ephesians 5:25-27 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might," what? "Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a" what? "Glorious church." Now, there's not a thing in any one of us that's glorious, is there? We're not worthy of his glory. We're sinners, come short of the glory of God. And yet, he is able to present us a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Can you fathom? I mean, you know what you are. I know what I am. I know the struggles that I have. You know the struggles that you have. And occasionally we see each other's, right? And God is able to take all of that and take each one of us and bring us into the glory of God with no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish. Wow. We should absolutely be thrilled in that thought. 1 John 3:2 says this, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Look, we're already, if you're saved, you're already a son of God, already a child of God. That's a blessing. But you know what it says? It says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Yeah, don't look on this flesh and say, that's the end result. What, you got saved? You look at a saved person and say, they did that? Yeah, that's not the end result. The end result's still to be seen. The end result is still, it comes when we are presented faultless in the presence of Jesus Christ, and we shall see him as he is and will be like him. Why? Because he takes his righteousness and puts on us. Incredible. Revelation 14:5 says, "And in their mouth," this is a group of people already arrived in heaven, "in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." When you sin, we ought to come before God and ask for his forgiveness. But when that temptation for sin comes about, we need to look and we need to understand. One day, Jesus died for us so that one day he could present us faultless. He died for us to give us his righteousness. We shouldn't wallow in the filth of this world. We shouldn't wallow in the wickedness of this world. We should not let our consciences become seared to the things in this world around us. We ought to strive to live for him while we're still on this earth. He's our Savior even now. We're children of God even now. And he is able not only to present us faultless. You know what? I really think that most of us have no problem with the concept of he's going to one day present us faultless. But how about the other one? He is able to keep us from falling. Let's look at Jude again. Let's get the exact wording from the verse. Jude, verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." You is plural. He's speaking to a group of people. He's able to keep you from falling. Not just to present you faultless. We don't have to live in the wickedness of this world waiting for to be presented faultless. And remember this, these lascivious people that are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, all the way back from Jude verse 4. Ungodly people, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Their goal and their statement is, hey, you trusted Christ as Savior, you're going to be faultless one day, live it up. What a wicked thing that is. The very idea of it. The statement is asked, or the question is asked in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid is the answer to that. And so we look at it, and the idea of someone coming in and say, hey, it's okay to do this, and it's okay to, don't worry about what the Bible says about it. Don't worry about what God says about it. You can do whatever you want because you're saved by grace, and he's going to present you faultless someday. And see, this leads us into the other thing. He's also able to keep you from falling here. He's able to keep you right with him and in fellowship with him here. Now, the one we take and we look and say, oh, wow, the power of God to present me faultless. What a wonderful truth that is. How about the power of God to keep you from falling? How about the power of God to keep you living right? How about the power of God to keep you out of temptation? How about the power of God for all those things? God has enough power to save my soul and present me faultless before the throne of Almighty, thrice holy God. Does God have the power to help me live tomorrow right with God? To keep me from falling? 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul makes a statement to the church of Corinth, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." That chaste word is chaste. It is not chaste as in someone chasing after you. It is pure, right, holy. And so Paul says to this church of Corinth, and we know the church had problems. Paul says, it is my desire that when Jesus Christ comes, it is my desire that all of you are presented as a church, as a bride, as a chaste virgin to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? As a father, you ought to have a desire for your daughters one day to bring them up and to be able to walk them down this aisle and be able to say, you know what? They're pure. They're chaste, they're right, and I'm presenting them to you, and they are going to be your bride. And I think every father ought to have that as a goal and a desire with their daughters, and I think that every father ought to put the protections in place to be able to do that, and that's good. You have a responsibility in that, and the joy on wedding day, when that is able to happen, by the way, young men ought to keep themselves as well, not just one-sided. And sometimes people just need simple protection from their own selves, because guess what? We all have a flesh. But here he writes it from the prospect of a church, and he says, look, it is my desire that this church body, this church family, be presented clean and pure to the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:28 says this, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He says, look, church of Colossae, it is our desire. We preach, and sometimes we preach with warning. And in that warning, we include the fact that, hey, there's temptations out there. There's wickedness out there. There's worldliness out there. We need to watch out. Every one of us have a flesh, and we warn and we warn and we warn. And guess what? Every single one of us need that warning. But the desire of that warning is not just some preacher up there trying to tell you what to do. The desire is you're going to be presented to Christ one day. You have fellowship with him today. You belong to him today. And so, let's be clean. Romans 16:25 says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. He says, look, we're preaching the gospel. And he has the power to establish you. From the idea of the word, we know the word establish. Establish is just, you're there, solid, unmoving, not falling. Not falling away. Not falling into sin. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Apostle Paul, as he ends his life, writing his final notes and a letter to Timothy. Obviously the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now God's able to present us faultless. Is God able to help us live tomorrow for him? Is God able to keep us faithful 10 years from now? Is God able to take us all the way to the grave, keeping us faithful in Him? I'm not saying sinless. If we could walk in the Spirit every hour of every day, it'd be a great thing. But no one in the flesh except the Lord Jesus Christ has ever accomplished that. But there's a huge difference between the Apostle Paul and Demas. The Apostle Paul said of Demas, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, went to jail, was stoned, was beaten, jailed again, and kept going. What's the difference? Was God able to keep Demas? Sure he was. Was God able to keep Paul? What's the difference? Demas chose the world. There wasn't a problem with God. If you or I fall, it's not God's fault. He is able to keep us from falling. He is able. Some person comes in and tries to get us to go the wrong way. God is able to keep us on the right page. Boy, we need this book. We need discernment. We need wisdom. We need spiritual discretion. We need prudence. Prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The foolish or the simple pass on and are punished. We need God. Now, here's where we get into trouble. And here's what we have to remember. Remember, it is Him that is able, not us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Well, I could never do that. That's a dangerous statement. It might even be taken as a challenge to the devil. Say, "I'll show you. I got all kinds of tricks up my sleeve. I've been going this long for God. I'll never quit now." Dangerous. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." As a young person, I often thought, this is going to get easier when you get older. I am learning more and more and more and more. Oftentimes, older people fall away from the Lord as easy as young people. What happens? How in the world did a person, they stayed faithful through their 20s, they stayed faithful through their 30s, they stayed faithful into their 40s. You get comfortable. You get thinking, "I've got this now. I just got to coast out the other end." Let me just say this. I think it's uphill all the way. Is there a downhill? Some of you that are ancient. Is there a downhill? Is there a time where you can just say, "Okay, I've got this"? I don't think so, and the longer I live, the more I see Satan's after you till the day you die, but Jesus is able to keep you from falling. We need to depend on Jesus. The day that you think it couldn't happen to me, you better get on your knees and ask God for help. Proverbs 28:14 says this, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." You know what? Sin ought to scare us. I'm not talking about walking around being scared of other people and everybody else's sin, but the fact that I could fall into sin, the fact that I could leave my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the fact that I could disgrace His name, that ought to put a fear in me. And the Bible says, "Happy is the man that feareth always," but what happens? "He that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Well, you get a hard heart, you get an idea that, I'm good, I don't need the Word of God anymore, I got this. I'm good, I don't need to be in church anymore, I'll be fine. No, you won't. I need God. You need God. And we ought to be afraid of sin, and we ought to be afraid of the devil, not in the sense that we're scared of them, but boy, we ought to understand I could and you could, and we all have the same flesh, and we need to remember that, and it ought to scare us every day that sin is lurking out there just waiting for us to mess up. And as a result of that, I could destroy my ministry, I could destroy my family, I could destroy all kinds of things. And that is a wake-up call for every one of us. Matthew chapter 26, verse 33 and 34, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter said, I'll never fall away. Kind of goes along with this morning's message. Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. That's what Jesus answered and said unto him. What happened? Peter got looking at himself saying, I got this. I love you so much, Jesus, I'll never fall away from you. And that night, three times, one because of a little girl, one because of some other people. I don't know the man. I'm not one of his disciples. And the third time that he denied, Jesus looked at him, made eye contact from the judgment hall. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. But the fact that he wept bitterly did not undo the fact that he had denied his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, there's forgiveness, and we thank God for forgiveness. But it's better not to deny. What was Peter's problem? Peter was looking to himself, trusting himself rather than trusting the power of God. If you make it through living for the Lord all the way till death, thank God for it. Don't you get the idea that, oh, I did this. Psalm 17:5, a prayer is said. It says, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. What is that? I need God. I need the power of God. Now, Jude says in verse 24, the end of the verse, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I can't leave off this little phrase. With exceeding joy. Luke 15:10 makes a statement, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now who's in the presence of the angels? Well, that'd be God himself. As the angels observe, God is there. And the joy that God has in having sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that you and I could be presented faultless before his throne. That's a pretty good thing. And when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God had joy. God had joy. Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus looks at it and says, it is my pleasure. It is my joy. It is my exceeding great joy to be able to die in your place so that I can take you and present you faultless into the glory of my heavenly Father. Wow. There's joy in this. Hebrews 13:17 gives us a bit of a warning, but a statement. Go ahead and turn there. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. And this goes along with the verse we read from Corinthians about presenting you to Christ a chaste virgin. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your what? Souls, as that they may give account, that they may do it with joy and not with what? Grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Do you know what? Young people, as your parents bring you up, I want you to remember they're watching for your souls. Now, specifically in context, this is talking about a pastoral position. But your parents are watching for your souls. Their desire, children, is to bring you up and to be able to say, God, I've brought them up, I've raised them, and now I give them over to you, saved, clean, right. I've done what I could do. They're adults now, they're yours. And to be able to do that, joy or grief is on the table. You can be a grief to your mom and dad, or you can be a joy to your mom and dad. And the joy is real and the grief is real. As a church member, the word of God is preached, the word of God is presented. Take it, listen, obey, follow. There's warnings given. What's the desire? The desire is to say, hey, stay with it. Live for God. Keep on going. And you know what? When a fellow Christian falls, there's a grief that goes with that. But when a Christian, a fellow Christian, a brother or sister in Christ has victory, the joy that goes with that, the joy of someone saying, I've finally gotten over this sin. Now remember, it's still God. That sin's waiting. That sin will come back the day you let it, it will. And your flesh will go back to it just like going back to ice cream after a diet or chocolate muffins. First Peter 4:13 says this, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You know what? When Jesus comes, is it going to be a joyous day for you? Or is there going to have to be some things taken care of? It's all going to happen real fast. Can you imagine being in the middle of sin and the rapture takes place? But he says, when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. The difference between the child when dad's coming home, the child running, Daddy! And the child going back to the back corner because mom's about to give the report. Right? So we look at this. And ultimately, when it's all said and done, let's go back to Jude. When it's all said and done, verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. When it's all said and done, all glory goes to God. All glory goes to God. Who is able to present you faultless? It's not me. It's not you. It's not your mom and dad. It's God. Who is able to keep you from falling? It's not me. It's not your mom and dad. It's not your brother or sister in Christ. Oh, we can all help, right? But ultimately, it's God. It's God. So what do we need? Part of the model prayer that Jesus gave said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When was the last time you prayed that God would deliver you from evil, God would save you from temptation? God would help you get victory over that sin. I fear in our society we've gotten kind of used to sin. Because it's very easy to get comparative. Society's so bad, we can look pretty good. But when we start putting our life up against the actual Bible and what the Bible says, we don't look very good. We need God. And so when it comes down to it, and somebody comes in and they're denying the only Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're ungodly, and they're bringing in, saying that, oh, the grace of God, turning it into lasciviousness. And they go through and they have all these characteristics that are listed throughout the book of Jude. We need to be what? Let's just sum it up. But ye beloved, verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And then realize, I need God if I'm going to stay on the right track. Because I have the same flesh that every person who has fallen away has. And I am no better, and you are no better than anyone else. The grace of God does not lead to lasciviousness. The grace of God leads to holiness. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness. Let's look at that verse real quick. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 12, or verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. See, the grace of God is going to send us on the right track, not the wrong track. And we need the grace of God to withstand all of the evil onslaught of the day. And God's grace is sufficient. It really is. Can a person read their Bible every day and fall into sin? Sure. But I guarantee what's happening is become more just ritualistic. But we need that relationship with God. That love toward God. And that daily reminder that, God, I need you to keep me right today. I need you to keep me on the right track today. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to fail you. I don't want to make it to 55 and fall. I don't want to make it to 70 and quit. I honestly do believe sometimes the tail end of life is harder than the beginning. Sins maybe are different, but we need God all the way through. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Father, I ask that you would help us to consider God to glory in the fact that we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, and you will present us faultless. But God, not to forget the fact that you want to keep us every day from falling. And God, what you've said is twofold. God, help us to grab both parts of that so we can live our lives with joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, would you come and talk to the Lord tonight? Do you need God's help? God's able. All right, I'm going to ask you to be seated for just a moment.